Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Tet tonight. Okay, we're in 19a. That's page 37. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. We got up to around 10 lines down. Need the small Dalet. Okay, Yud Tet Amud Aleph. Around 10 lines down the page, near the small, near the small Dalet. It's one line below the Aleph in parentheses. It says Alinu Matrin B'chol Makom. So the Tana Mishnah says. Matrin b'chol makom. When it says matrin, it means that we're gonna fast. They'll fast. They'll cry out in tefillah, and they'll also blow the shofar. Alelu matrin b'chol makom. In other words, in every place, al hashidafon. In other words, if there's a wind blast, that's enough for an instantaneous fast. Ve'al yerakon. And for yerakon is like it means like the crops are turning yellow. It's some sort of disease. Ve'al arve ve'al kasil. Two different types of locusts. He says, "Well, and when it says "b'chol makom," it means even if you don't have this in your place, but the place down the road has got it, or 10 or 20 miles away they have it, you're still going to fast and cry out. He says, "If there's a dangerous beast that's running around, obviously puts people in mortal danger. Cherub is you have soldiers who go around killing people. Matrina leha. So matrina again. Matrina leha means code. It means that." We call that in tefillah and with shofar and fasting. It's like a moving makkah. In other words, the makkah could be in one place now. There'll be another makkah in another place. Let's take a look at the Rashi, the fourth line in Rashi. So he says, "Matrin b'chol makom," and here the bach. And again, it's what it's the mafarish. We said the Maris Chai says it's not really Rashi here, but he says, "Matrin b'chol makom," in the fourth line. Im niru ba'aspamia, if it appears ba'aspamia, spamia is usually Spain, Hispania. If it's in Spain, in other words, the shidafon, the yerakon, whatever else they got going, matrin b'bavel. So even in Babel, it's the other end of the world, so to speak, of the ancient world. So there'll be matrin b'bavel. B'bavel, if it's in Babel, matrin ba'aspamia. The Katani Tama b'seifa, as the Tana learns at the end of the clause, nishi maka mahalechet. It's like a moving maka. If it's in one place, so everybody who hears about it should pray so they don't have it. I tell you, today in our COVID world, it really hits home. They got it in one place. Omicron. Bang, bang, bang. It's all over the place. Okay, let's look back to Chas v'Shalom. Okay, let's look back on the Gemara. Okay, so we're up to the words Maaseh. We're on 10 lines down on Yotzei Min Aleph. There was an incident that the Kenim went from Yerushalayim to their respective cities in order to declare a fast. And they declared a fast. So the Gemara is going to explain. We don't know what this means, but the Gemara is going to explain not today's daf, but on Shabbos' daf, which I hope everybody will come to. It says that it means that if the shidafon is the wind blast, if enough of the crop of the wind blast has been wind blasted, and that crop could have produced enough wheat to make enough bread to fill the opening of a tanur, then that'd be enough to declare a fast. So they declared a fast because there was a wind blast, and the wind blast had obliterated enough crop, that would have yielded like bread that would have filled the mouth of a tanur, an oven. In addition to which, there were gozer atanis, a fast. Because two the wolves ate two children on the east bank of the Jordan. He says, Rabbi Yosef says they didn't eat, but they niru, the wolf showed up, and it's just like so it's it's right. In other words, it's prospective. In other words, they're prospectively worried that they will eat people, and so we're right. So that's what they're doing. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, so now we're at the two dots. We're around 10 lines above where it gets wide. Al elu matrin b'Shabbat. Now here, so we have matrin b'Shabbat. On Shabbat, they wouldn't fast. And on Shabbos, they also normally, it was certainly not blow shofar on Shabbos. But even to make tachanunim on Shabbos, normally you don't do it. So the Tana Mishnah is going to tell us here. Matrin just means to say tachanunim, to have supplications to Hashem, when and under what circumstances do we make takanunim on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says, Alilu matrim b'Shabbat, al ir shikifu enachrim. If you have a Jewish city that's surrounded by non-Jews and they're surrounding it, like attacking it, so it's like nip and tuck. So then we're going to be mitpalo for them. This is Onahar, or there's like a river that's, you know, swelling its banks and they're afraid it's going to flood the whole place. Or we see a boat that's tossing at sea. So then we can, in other words, it's like clear and present danger, imminent danger to Jews. So then we'll have takanunim to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Le'ezra v'lo le'tza'aku. Rabbi Yossi says that even under these circumstances, we don't have takanunim, but we can, because we don't know if the takanunim will be answered, you know, positively, but we can call people just to help them. In other words, we could summon help for the people, but we still can't be mitpalo for them on Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Shimon HaTimni Omer, and some say it's Shimon HaTimani, is Makoket, what the pronunciation is. Shimon HaTimni Omer, Afala Dever, he says, even for Dever, that you could, Dever is pestilence. You could be, you know, with Paul on Shabbos. The Chacham didn't agree with him. So, all right, now, let me talk about Shimon HaTimni for a minute. If you look in Rashi, or the Mefarish that's called Rashi, on the 20th narrow line, Shimon HaTimni mid Timna Haya. There's a city in Eritrea, at least in Tanakh, Timna. So he says he's from Timna. Now, he has a piece here. I'll go over it in 1 minute. Yeah. So this is from the Morota Daf Yomi. So Timna, we said, is a city in Eretz Yisrael. It's mentioned in Tanakh. And Shimon is counted as one of its, you know, members of the city. So that would be Shimon HaTimni. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in a Sefer, Lechem HaShemayim, Anachtu Korim HaTeimani. In other words, he takes it that this Tana was born in Teiman. So it's not Shimon HaTimni, Shimon HaTeimani. He says, and he says, and Chumash also mentions Kusham Eretz HaTeimani. Now, he mentions in the old manuscripts, some put the dots HaTimni, and some put it HaTeimani. He says, but there were additional Tanayim that didn't live in Eretz Israel. For example, Nachum Hamadi. Nachum Hamadi is from Madai, so that's not in Eretz Israel, and he's called from the place that he came from. So the fact that it's not in Eretz Israel, you know, it's not Mukhrach, that it can't be from a place outside of Eretz Israel. Now, he quotes from Rav Urien Margoliot, who makes an interesting, you know, observation. The Rambam, at the end of his Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnayot, lists the names of 37 Tanayim that are mentioned in the Mishnah only once. In the entire Mishnah, 37 Tanayim are mentioned once. Now, many Rishonim Achronim deal with this, and because some, they found that among the 37 Tanayim, there are some that are mentioned more than once. On the other hand, there are Tanayim that are just mentioned once, and the Rambam doesn't mention it. So the situation got such that the Chav of Siyair says that from here, you can see evidence that even the Gedolim of the Gedolim can make, you know, like mistakes. They can forget about things. And he took it that the Rambam made a mistake. In other words, he says he's listing 37 Tanaim, only mentioned once in the Mishnayot, and he left people out. And of the 37, some mentioned more than once. So the Chav of Siyair says, you see, even the Gedolim can make a mistake. But other Achronim are Miyashev, this Rambam, and they say that if you look at the 37 Tanaim the Rambam mentions, among them is Shimon HaTimni. So according to the Rambam, he mentioned once in the Mishnah, but and that's in the Masechet Yevamot at the end of the fourth parak. But in our Masechet, it also mentions him, and Masechet Yedayim it also mentions him. So he says, why does Rambam mention him on the Tanaim that only mentioned once? So the simplest answer is that there are two Shimon HaTimnis. One is Shimon HaTeimani, the other is Shimon HaTimni. In other words, they don't have Nekudot in the Rambam. So he says in Masechet Yevamot, it's talking about Shimon HaTeimani. So Shimon HaTeimani, the Rambam is right. Shimon HaTeimani is mentioned once. He says, but in our Masechet, the Masechet Yedayim, so is Shimon HaTimni. So the Rambam, this is the Rambam, he says that Yashay is the Rambam. So he says, it's not just like a shot in the dark. In earlier manuscripts of the Mishnah, the Gerson Ar Masecha, the Masechet Yedayim, Yifimin Hativni. There's another Girsa, not Hativni, but Hativni. And the explanation is that the city of Timna in Eretz Yisrael was also called Tivna with a bays. He says, as proved by the people, he says, I don't know, who look into antiquities, and in Yivamor, so much Shimon HaTeimani. So mainly the Rambam comes out to be correct with that. Okay? But it's just the Ha'ara. All right. I'm going to go further. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
I have a question.
Okay, wait 1 second, Ruth. I have a question here, and then we'll get to your question, okay? So Yosef asked me, what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi, Shimon HaTimni, and the Chachamim? So the Chachamim say that we can be mispalel for these three situations, when it's like the Goyim are coming to attack a city, the river is going to overflow the city, or the boat is tossing at sea. That's the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says, you can't pray in that situation on Shabbat, and she says. Because he can't pray on it in that situation on Shabbat. Cannot. He says, but you could call help. You call Ezra. You call Hatzalah. Okay? Now, he says, then Shimon HaTimni says that you could be mispalel also for Dever. Now, the difference, I would think, is, see, Dever, I assume what he's saying, Dever is totally Bidei Shemayim. These other things are also Bidei Adam. So the Chum hold, I can only be mispalel where, I don't know, like maybe like the Goyim are doing it and the Nahar, but there's still ways to like save people from the Nahar and the Sfina. But the Dever, I assume there was no way, you know, to be De Adam, to prevent the Dever. He says, Shimon HaTimni says for Dever, you could pray to Hashem, but the Chum didn't agree with him on that. Those are the three Shitot. So as far as you have to work out more, but those are the three Shitot. Okay, now, Ruth, what do you got for me, Ruth?
So in Yitches, you see a lot of achrayus for the community itself. For if they're ashamed, if they're guilty, then you're going to see what happens. And those that are not afflicted, they already emerge as tahar. So
I'm not following the logic. Go ahead, repeat again.
It's not my logic. It says here. It says.
Are you reading in the article? Where are you reading?
Yeah, I'm reading in the article. Yeah, I was reading straight. Yeah.
In the footnotes or the translation?
No, the actual what it says. The calamities that occur in cities very often point to the guilt of the cities. And those right. And so on. Is this where those who look at the Shoah and they claim that the responsibility is on the that because of what?
Listen, getting kind of a little bit far afield with this, Ruth. But we're matzik the din. We don't understand what a Kaddish Baruch Hu does things, but. But you know, we're matzik the din. We accept the din from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I don't know which line in the Mishnah are you referring to in the art scroll.
I'll show you. One sec.
I think you're talking earlier.
Yeah, a little bit just the Yudches.
Yeah, I don't think we're on Yudtet now.
I know. Is it okay?
You're not on the part of the Mishnah that we're doing right now. But I assume it's you're doing the part where the rain comes on one city, it doesn't come on the other city.
Exactly. And Yitfes, right.
So Otanya Mitana. So in other words, it's taken that's a din from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And so the Holocaust is also a din from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We don't understand, you know, the drachma of Hashem, but that was also a din from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I don't know what to say. Yeah, what's up? Okay, we've got to keep moving, otherwise we will run out of time. Go ahead quickly, Rafi. So for the Medina and for Tzahal, so I think there's a difference between Tachanunim, where we're praying for Hashem, you know, please, you know, like we're imploring Hashem to save us from a difficult situation, and the other is like to make a Mishaberach. Let's say a person gets an Aliyah, so we give him a Mishaberach. So 1 second, you do a Mishaberach for Tzahal, it's a Mishaberach also, and then there's a well-known custom to say it's tefillah for the Medina, for the Medina that you're in. And then so it's saying it's tefillah for the people who are Zionist oriented. So they say it's tefillah for the Medina, it's Eretz Yisrael. I do. Anyway, but this is the sugya that it's telling me with. Okay, let's move on. Now, let's take a look back on the Gemara. We're four lines above where it gets wide. When it says any tsar, it means that any tsar that does occur at the tzibur. In other words, Mishnah doesn't want to say that language. But it means the opposite. So matrina, we would fast and pray and blow the shofar out. Except if we have too much rain, we wouldn't do that. So he says, there was an incident where they said to Choni Ma'agel, Choni means Choni the circle maker. Pray that we should have rain. So Amar Lahem, Suvach Nisu Tonrei Pesachim, Shilshlonimoku. So he said, you should come and bring the ovens, the Passover ovens. In other words, they made Passover ovens from clay, so they built the ovens, you know, like in at the end of Adar. So they're freshly, you know, made clay ovens. So he says, bring the clay ovens in, especially Mokus, and destroy because the rain is going to come down. If Paleo blow your dukshami, he prayed, and no rain. Maasa, what did he do? Ag uga, he made a circle. He says, Va'amad b'tocha, he stood inside the circle. Va'amar lefanav, and he said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, v'anecha samu pneyem, alai, shenik ben bayit lefanecha. In other words, your children, the Jewish people, are looking to me to help the situation because I'm like a member of your household. Nishbani b'shem chagdo. So he, Choni, took a shua in the name of Hashem. Sheni zaz mitan. He says, not moving from that circle, achterachim abanecha, until you have rachamim on your progeny, on Jewish people. So the rain began to come down in small droplets, a light rain. Amar lo kach sha'alti. He says, that's not what I asked for. El gishme borot sichin marot. I asked for rain that's going to fill. Please, everybody needs to mute themselves. Let me help you all out. So he said, I need rain that's going to fill the pits, the borot, the sichin, the cisterns, and the ma'arot, and the caves. In other words, all the place where water is collected. It says, so then the rain began to come down like in a torrential downpour. Amar lo kach sha'alti. He said, that's not what I asked for either. El gishmei ratzon brachon adava. I asked for like favorable rain. He says, yardu k'tikunan. So the rain came down like in the regular fashion, but it kept coming. Until everybody left Yerushalayim to the Har Bayit. It means Yerushalayim is like lower and the Har Bayit is higher. They're going to the higher elevations to escape the water. So they came and said to Choni Ma'agel, Shem Shepalal Taleim Shudu, just like you prayed for the rain, that we should have rain, I want you to pray that we won't have rain. Stop it, right? Amar Lahem, Suru im Nimchet Evan Atoim. It says, go and see, Evan Atoim is this stone where people would stand up and make a hachbraza if somebody lost an item. It's a little bit like in London, you know, in Hyde Park, with that speaker's podium, whatever, you know, but anyway, when you get the idea. He says, see if the Evan Atom is covered with water. That's what it means. Nimchet means like, you know, effaced, but it means if it's covered with water. He says, Shalaflo, Shimon Shetach, the Malay Choniata was running like an idu. So Shimon Shetach sent a message to him. He says, if you weren't Choni, I'd be gozer nidu with you, put you in excommunication. In other words, because you're not speaking right to a Tadish Baruch Hu. He said, this isn't what the rain I asked, you know, the whole thing. This is like not the Eretz speak to Tadish Baruch Hu this way. What can I do to you? You do things that are wrong before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You still call Ritzoncha. He does your Ritzon anyway. Just like a son may sometimes not act properly. Nevertheless, the father tries to fulfill his Ritzon. Concerning the Pasuk and Mishlei, the proverb says, like your father and mother should be happy, and they'll be rejoiced at your birth. Now, and it says in parentheses, Mount Nitim, but that's a mistake. And then we'll finish the Mishnah and then we'll pause for questions, comments, and thoughts. Hayumitanin, we are Dulahem Gishamim. He says, Kodamanetzachama, Lo Yashlimu. So let's say they were fasting And then rain began to come down, but the rain came before Netzachama. The rain came before sunrise. It says, Lo Yashlimu. So there's no need for them to complete the fast. So it means the Tana is viewing this. This is what the article had. It was someone with Rabbi Packer today, but he's saying like the fast really begins at Nates. So if the rain is coming before Nates, so there's no need to fast anymore. In other words, the rain came in before the fast really got going, even though. Right. So look at the road, like I was asking Rabbi Packer about it. And there's a certain dinim that clicked in ahead of time, but the fast, the essence of the fast begins with the morning. So he says, so no need to complete it. L'achar Netzachama, but if the rain comes after Nates, Yashlim, once they begin the fast, then they got to complete the fast, even if it's raining. That's what I think Fernand asked me that a number of weeks ago or a number of days
right.
ago. Well, okay, just a minute. Reblezer Omer, Kodem Chatzot L'Yashlimum. Reblezer says, if the rain comes before Chatzot, they don't have to complete the fast. L'achar Chatzot Yashlimum. After Chatzot, they do. So one way to understand Reblezer, the way the Artsua had it, is like the first meal a day you'd have by Chatzot. In other words, people eat like the breakfast, like the brunch. Is they would have the meal and they eat at different times. And then, you know, one person, 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12. So it means, so if it's raining before the first meal of the day, like I don't feel a fast till the first meal and I'm skipping my first meal of the day. So if the rain comes before the time I would take the first meal of the day, so then I don't have to complete it. That's what I do. There was an incident where there goes there a fast in the city of Lod. And rain came before Chatzot. Amar lehem Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said to everybody, everybody go out, eat, drink. Let's be yantiv, make a yantiv. So it went from big bracha, from fast to yantiv, even before the fast was over. And everybody ate and had a nice time. And they came back in the afternoon, and then they recited Halal HaGadol. Halal HaGadol is the parak that we say on Shabbos morning. You know, Kilion Chasto with, you know, so Rabbi Libos was saying, like, the Gemara is going to mention why they eat and drink and then say Halal Gadol. So he says that you only say Halal Gadol, like, on a full stomach when you're feeling good. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
How do you deal with the neder aspect of the day before when you're declaring yourself to start a fast the next day at Mincha?
Right. Yeah. So I assume it means like this. That first the Kabbalah Tanis is for Tanis Yachid. In other words, if I'm privately I'm doing it. If the Bezdin is goes there on the Tzibur, I don't know if you need a Kabbalah Tanis. But even Lu Yatsur, I did need a Kabbalah Tanis. Presumably, if that were the case, it's subject to the need for it. If I don't need it anymore, then not. That's what I would say. All right. What somebody else?
I was going to say.
Okay. Come to you in a minute. Aaron Moshe, one time. So he's saying like that's what I was saying to Michael. They're deem like the please. Everybody needs to mute themselves until we're speaking. Okay. One second. Okay. Okay. So no. So we learned earlier that even the night before, like if I go to sleep, I can't eat, right? And then the other sheet was, if I finish the meal, I can't eat. So there are clearly dinim that click in before. But this sheet is saying that the essence of the fast is after Nates. That's what I would say. Okay, now, Aaron Moshe, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say two things. Isn't it, speaking of rain, didn't the marble end tonight on the fourth candle?
The marble, so I don't know.
I think I saw it somewhere. The marble. I remember where that the marble ended on the fourth candle, which is tonight.
That would be at the end of Kislev. I don't remember seeing that, but if you saw it, I'm sure you saw it somewhere. But
the other thing is on Hanukkah, we're mispallel for Nissan, which normally you're not supposed to be mispallel for, right?
Well, not exactly. Okay, I mean our nusach is. Allah Nisim, we thank you for the Nisim that you've done. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim you've done. There's another Nusach that the Rishonim quote, and we're going to have a Masechet Megillah in another week or two, where the Nusach was Kishem Shasita, like just like you did miracles for them, you should do miracles for us now.
But I saw the Shalom Meshiv, who's a Misnagid. I saw a lot of the Chassidim, but the Shalom Meshiv, who's a Misnagid, said right. that the reason you pray that you can, that you use that the way you said the second way that you ask for permission for nisim is because it's taka time from that chanukah is a time from nisim, and when you look in the candles you're supposed to look at the neiros, the light. Don't go away from the candles. Look in the light, because it's a time from nisim right now. So the Shalom Meshur says that's why we are allowed to be misfollowed for nisim.
All right, but the way our Messiah is, we're not praying for nisim. Yeah, what's up, Rafi? We learned that there's a gzeira for the tzibur and then there's a gzeira for the yachid. And that was what the Ran made the chilek with those two. So what did you want to say? No, so Tanis Yachid, that again, there's a lot of different shita in the Gemara, but you're saying that you can change the gzeira. But we hold that you can change the gzeira. In other words, even a gzeira, in other words, a tannis, in other words, that you know, even that the person could always be okay. All right, I'm going to move further in the Gemara because we're going to run out of time at the end, and then it'll be quick and nobody will be happy. Okay, so let me go further in the Gemara. So we're five lines from the bottom or eight lines from the bottom on Yotzer Manal Gemara. So. So the beginning of the Mishnah that we just completed, which we did this part yesterday, is that Seder Taniyot, this is a series of fasts that begin when the first rains come in Mar Cheshvan. So when those rains don't come, then we begin these series of fasts. Remember, the Mishnah said that on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, Yechidim, the Chachamim fast. And then in Kislev, the rest of the Klal does it. So he says, Ramini, on this we pose a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Revi'a Rishona Ushniya L'shol. Now, the Revi'a Rishona Ushniya, we'll explain shortly, it means the first and second rains it means he's referring to the third of Mar Cheshvan and the seventh of Mar Cheshvan. That's to ask Talamator. Shlishit L'tanot. The 17th is to fast. In other words, by the beginning on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, if the rain hasn't come, that you fast. So the Gemara takes it. But the first line in our Mishnah said, "Seretani El Hamur B'Revi Rishona." In other words, the Gemara is going to explain that the earlier rain is called Yoreh, but the Yoreh is divided into three parts, which we don't know right now. But he's saying that the way he understands it is that the fast begin if you don't have rain by the third of Mar Cheshvan. That's the way he understood the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Tamar. So Rav Yehuda says this is what our Mishnah means: "Seretani El Hamur." In other words, when does the fast click in? When the first Revi'a means like you have the first rains, but then the first rains, you have the third of Mar Cheshvan, seventh of Mar Cheshvan, and then the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. So he says, if all those dates pass and you don't have rain, below your Agud Shamim, that's what he means that you begin the fast. He says, Aval your Agud Shamim Revi'a Rishona, but if rains did come down, in like even in the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, Bizaru below Tzamchu, and then they planted and nothing grew, Inami Tzamchu because Zubinishtanu, or they grew but then they didn't grow right, there was something wrong with them, Matrina Lemiyah. That's what the Mishnah is saying, that there are the circumstances, even if the rain wasn't per se the issue, that you have to start fasting pronto. Amar of Nachman, Dafkin Nishtanu. So Nachman says that the immediate fasting is only Nishtanu, like the crops can change their appearance to whatever. But if they dried out, then we're not going to have taniyot. In other words, if it's dead already, we're not going to pray for it. In other words, if it's like, you know, if it's water under the bridge, there's nothing to pray for. It's like Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, like, there are things like if a woman is already pregnant, you can't make it feel it should be a male. In other words, it's right. So if it's already dried out, if the crops are dead, there's nothing to pray about with the crops. He says, so the Gemara says, it's obvious. As the Mishnah says, Nishtanu. So I know that I'll fast and pray if the crops have changed in appearance, but not if they're dried out. Lo tzricha da'akum. So the verse says, no, it means it dried out, but after it dried out, it grew a little bit. He says, ma'u d'tema akantim l'tahi. And I think the further growth is the davar chashuv. Kamash malan, it's dried out, it's like history, and we're not going forward with that. Okay, now, two lines to the bottom. So the Mishnah said, if you had an initial rain, but then no rain for 40 days after that, so we're also going to fast. And because that's a makat batzor. Batzor means there's a scarcity of food. So the Gemara says, my makat batzor, what scarcity of food is? In other words, we don't understand, like 40 days went without rain, but the crops wouldn't be the time that we would harvest them anyway. So what's the scarcity of food? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mara, makat mebili day batzor. It means it's a makat which will result in a scarcity of food. We don't have a scarcity of food now, but it's a makat which is going to result in a scarcity of food. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Nara anahara, so it means not. So the first shot that the Rashi and the Mefarish has is if, let's say, I don't have any food in my city, but I could by boat, I could go to another city and bring the food. He says that's batzorit, that's batzorit, that's scarcity of food. Medinta amedinta, but if in the whole Medina, the whole province is no food, and I have to go to another province or another state to get the food, that's kafna. That's a more serious term. That's a famine. So what's the difference with now? Rashi has different shot also, where it could be that's one shot. The second shot is nara nara. It means if one river dries out, but I could divert another river and then get water. So that's a scarcity of food. But medinta amedinta is where I have to go to another medina to get water. That's a kafna. So what's the difference whether it's batzorit or a kafna? So if you look at the Tosfos on your Ten Amud Aleph, so he says the difference is that it's only for the kafna that we begin to fast and pray and do the whole tzach. That's what he says. Not for the batzorit. And then he says, what about our Mishnah? So he says, let me just go one thing here. Let me find it. One second. Yeah. Okay. So he says, again, so in the 10th narrow line in the Tosfos, he says, if it's the more serious thing, I have to go Medina to Medina, but as Matrian. Matrian means I'm going to fast, I'm going to daven, I'm going to blow shofar out. And then he says later on, but what about in the Mishnah? It sounded like that even for the Batzoret, I'd have it. So this is 10 lines from the bottom, it's like 2 lines below the mem in parentheses. He says that which the Mishnah refers to as makat batzoret is really more similar to the kafna. It's a choach. In other words, instead of wheat, you have thorns. That's really it's a really serious thing. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Turn page. Okay, let me get to the two dots and we'll pause. But Amar Reb Chanina, sa'ab sela. This is expensive. If a saw of wheat was one sela, it was shchicha, but there's lots of wheat around, but it's expensive. That's batzorta. That's a scarcity of food. Arba'a v'lo shchicha, he says, if it's cheap, in other words, wheat you can obtain cheaply, I can get 4 saw for the sela, but v'lo shchicha, but there's no wheat around, that's kafta. So in other words, it sounds a little bit counterintuitive because it usually works on supply and demand, but the point being that if the wheat's, you know, is there's a lot of wheat around, but it's just expensive, that's not called kafna. That's a scarcity of food. But if there's no wheat around, even though it's available somewhere, it's cheap. But then that's a kafna. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo shana b'zman shamaot bezol per biyoker. He says, yeah, that's true. If you know money is got the same flow and the wheat is expensive, like in the first case, if the maot is biyoker, it means if there's like an economic depression, so people don't have money. That's the way I would explain it. In other words, like the velocity of money slowed down. That's really what happens in a depression. The same money's around, but nobody's spending the money. It's locked away. He says, "Avomal biyoker peir bezol." So then even though there's, in other words, the first who came to saying it depends on how much wheat is the wheat around right now, and I could get it, even if it's expensive, that's batzoret, it's not so serious. But he said that's only if the economy is like the normal economy. If there's an economic depression where people can't get work and things like that, then matrina lemiyad. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Nehirna, I remember, Kanabu Kaimi Arba Sin Besela, I remember when the wheat was cheap, it would cost 4, you got, for one seller, you got 4 sin of wheat. But there were a lot of people walking around with their bellies swollen from hunger in Tveria because they had no money. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, we're in the 10th line down on New Tenement Base. Now, the Mishnah said if the rain came down for tzmachim, like for the plants, for the crops, but not for the Elon, or the Elon, not for the Smachim, or the Kimimimimimimim, the Bursin Morod, so we would have the Taniyot and the fasting and the Tchinot. So you do the Smachim of the Elon. Bishlam of the Smachim of the Elon. So the Gemara is trying to understand what does it mean that rain, doesn't rain come down for everything? What does it mean the rain came down for the crops and not for the trees not for the crops, or both? He says, Bishlam of the Smachim of the Elon, Mashkachat law, Da'ata Nicha Vloati Razi. So if there's a very light rain, that's good for the crops, but it doesn't help the tree. You need a heavier rain. Elon below the smachin, what does it mean? The Mishnah says rain came from the trees, but not for the crops. The atyirazi raza, like a more heavier rain came. So that's good for the trees, but not good for the crops. He says, below atyanicha. Now, when it says it came for the crops and it came for the trees, but not for the boro sichel maro, it means like the cisterns, like where you gather all the water. The rain came down both strong and light. But a lot of it didn't come down. In other words, you need even more rain to get the stockpile of water, you know, because you want to store the water in the cisterns and the pits and things like that. So we explain the Mishnah. So the Gemara says on the second wide line, Elahad Tanya, Yardu Labor Lasikhul Ma'arod, about Loloze Uloze, Hechi Mashkachala. So in the Brisa, there's a Brisa that we're introduced now. The Brisa says you can have a case where the rain came from the Borot Sichel Ma'arod, it came from the pits, you know, the cisterns and the vaults. He says, but not for the crops and not for the trees. What would that case be? So the Gemara says, the Akya B'Shrihuta, it became a torrential downpour. The torrential downpour is good for the gathering of the water, but it's not good for the crops, it's not good for the trees. So that's what the Brisa is referring to. All right? Now, the Gemara says on the fourth wide line, Tanur Rabban, we learn the Brisa, Matrin al Ilanot, Befrosa Pesach. Now, the Ilanot, in other words, Prosa Pesach means like, pros is like the slice. In other words, the 30 day period, remember we learned this Gemara in Pesachim, means the 30 days before Pesach, pros is like a prusa. So if I take the 30 days slice and a half, I have pros 15 days before Pesach. So he says, if the trees haven't gotten rain, and it's 15 days before Pesach, so then we're gonna fast and cry out with Tchino. He says, Alaborod Besichin Ma'arod. Now, here, the Bach and the Gra take out the words Afilu. We have Afilu Befros HaChag, but they take out the word Afilu, it was Befros HaChag. In other words, if the Borod Besichin Ma'arod aren't filled up 2 weeks before Sukkot, which means like at Rosh Hashanah time, then we'll have fasting and Tfilot and Tchino. But Al Kula. Say again, what? Well, yeah, but this is before, in other words, by Sukkot, we want the rain. In other words, anyway, she says, Va'al kulan im ein lahem mayim l'shtod, matrin lahem yad. Meaning, in all instances, if people don't have water to drink, then we're matri immediately. Ve'ezuhu miyad shlahem. What does it mean, miyad? When we say miyad, what does miyad mean? So it doesn't mean like we wake up on, you know, Sunday morning and say that's it, we're fasting. We wait Monday, Thursday, Monday. Then now we have here Baal Kulan, Aimatrinalayan, Elab Iparche Shalahan. For all these calamities, we only matria Iparche Shalahan in the state where it occurs. Now, this seems to contradict a little bit the Rashi or the Rashi that we learned on Amud Aleph about the calamity happening in Babel and Ispamia. So now this line of Gemara could be talking about even the what the Gemara referred to it as a what was it, Mahalechet? What is it? He says, how do we refer to it? Maka Mahalechet. So if it's a moving Maka, so the earlier we said like from one end of the world to the other, from Babel to Ispamia. Yeah. So over here, the Arts quoted the Ritva and the Ran, it sounds like they don't agree with that. So either So I was talking this over with Rabbi Packer. I didn't look this up in the Ritva of the Ran, but either Ritva of the Ran will explain the Amud Aleph differently and say, not like the way the Rashi explained it, that it's just like within one state, then there's no stira between two, or that this is, it could be a stira between the two, but they have different opinions. But it's saying that it's only within the same state. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Ba'askara, Askara is like this choking illness, which could be fatal. And we know the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva died from Askara. Bizman Shesh Bamita Matrina Leh. If people are dying from Askara, then we're Matria. Matria is code. It means we fast and we pray and we blow shofarot. Bizman She'ein Bamita Ein Matrina Leh. Umatrina la govai b'chol shu. Govai is a type of locust. So if you see like one govai, that's it. It's enough. Like this is one, there's another, 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 another. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer, Apalakaya. There's also another type of locust. He says, Lachayab also. Whatever those locusts are, you know, you see them, you got to get rid of them. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Matrina l'ilanot, b'shar shnei shavua. Now, he's talking about the years that we would have fast for the Ilanot. So if it's not a Shemitah year, then we would have fasting for the Ilanot. In the Shemitah year, the trees are all Hefker. So it's not Shayach that will you know, have fasting for it. But for the water, nobody's got water, then even the Shemitah year, we would have the praying and the fasting. No. Even Ilanot, in the Shemitah year, we can have fasting and praying. Because the Aniyim need it. In other words, like the people were wealthy, they have stockpiled their six-year produce in their house. So, and everything is hefker, but they don't care. They have enough food to make it through the Shemitah year. But the Aniyim, they depend on it. So then we'll do it for the Aniyim. Tani Idach, we learned different brisa. Matrina Ilanot, b'shor shnei shavua. That we're matria, you know, the fasting and the praying concerning the Ilanot, if there's no rain for them. On the other years of the cycle, not Shemitah. And Rishulah says that even for the Ilanot, we would pray in the Shemitah year. And then this Brisa adds, matrina al Sfichim Shviyat, that within Rishulah Liel, he says you can matrina Sfichim on the aftergrowth. And the aftergrowth be from the crops, you know, after you've harvested the crops, but a certain amount grows back on its own. This is, that's what he said, that those things have parnasasanim, so we have to do it that way. Now, Tanya, Amr Blazer ben Prata, Yom Shpura ben Amikdash, Nasu Gishmim Simukim Liolam, that rain has sort of like shrunk back. It was like rain is not as plentiful now after the Korban by the Beis HaMikdash. Yeshana Shishana Merubin. Sometimes you have a year with a lot of rain. Yeshana Shishana Muatin. You have a year with very little rain. Yeshana Shishana Yordim Bizmanan. Sometimes you have a year, a rain comes according to the expected schedule. Yeshana Shishana Yordim Bizmanan. Sometimes they don't come on the expected schedule. Shana Shishana Yordim Bizmanan. What is it like when rain comes at the expected time? In other words, Mar Cheshvan and so forth, you're good to go. He says, La'evish natan rabo parnasato b'chabe Shabbat. It's like a servant whose master gave him the food for the week, the grain for the week on Sunday. So here's the servant, here's all the grain, you have enough grain for the whole week. Nimse isana feik tikuna. So the dough is baked properly, in other words, he'll do the dough, and then fell tikuna. In other words, he's got plenty of time to prepare for Shabbos, everything works out well. But a year when the rain doesn't come down at the proper time, what is it similar to? It's like a master, he gives him like the wheat on Friday. He says, so the bread, it's not baked properly. I'm like hustling, bustling, you know, to do everything. It's like, you know, he says, in other words, I'm eating something that wasn't prepared right. So everything is like, you know, last minute. Okay. He says, Shana Shigashmem Rubin Lamahudama. Now, that's when the rain comes at the proper time. Now, what about if there's a year with plentiful rain? He says, what is it similar to? It's like a master who gives his servant all his parnasa for the year in one shot. Or is here's all the wheat, you got enough weed, you enjoy yourself, I'll see you another year. So there's a certain amount of, you know, wheat you lose when the wheat is being ground. but it's the same amount. In other words, a certain amount of wheat will cling to the millstones. So whatever that amount is, so like it's if I'm, you know, I have now like, a million bushels of wheat, and so it's a little de minimis for me. In other words, it's like the overhead I paid. And again, the dough, like a little bit will get taken out, but I'm okay with it. It means like when I need the dough, turn out dough clings to the kalim, you know, but it's like the same amount. We make a lot of dough or a little dough. He says, what is it like a year there's very little rain? It's like a master who gives his parnasa in little dribs and drabs. So he's gonna lose more grain from, he has to keep going back to the mill to grinding the grain because it's kings and dribs and drabs. So he's losing out even more. He says, and then the Isa also he loses it because he keeps kneading dough again and again. Or a different Hezber, what does it mean when there's a lot of rain? What is it similar to? Well, the person kneading clay. He says, if you've got lots of water, and it was like, I got more than enough water for my needs. So the water goes on and on. But the tit is needed properly. But he's got very little water. So he runs out of water. And he's not able to knead the clay properly. All right. Now, the final topic for tonight, and then we'll talk some things from the sheets, is with Choni Ma'agel. I'll do the incident with Choni Ma'agel tonight, and then maybe we'll see how we go tomorrow. So let me just see what I have here with the sheets and stuff like that. Okay, I'll do a little bit of the story, even though Michael usually doesn't like it. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, Tom, thank you. Tan Rabbanan, Tam Achad Alu Kol Yisrael LeRegel Yerushalayim, that once the entire Jewish people came to the Regel, to a Regel, you know, one of the holidays in Yerushalayim, Loya Mayim LaShtot, they didn't have water to drink. Halach Nachimon Ben Gurion Eis LaAdon Echad, so Nachimon Ben Gurion, who is a wealthy Jew, who went to one Adon, and he sounds like he's not Jewish, he went to, like, some wealthy non-Jew, sounds like. He says, Amarlo, Habini Shtem Estre Mayanot Mayan Lo Oli Regali. Marsha loan me 12. Now, Mayanot is usually a spring. Rashi, the bottom line in Rashi, says that Otom Lo Yinobi Mayan Kultak, like a spring usually gurgles up with water. He says they weren't coming up so much water, and now immediately, Tromayanot. And they didn't get filled up on their own. It sounds like more similar to like cisterns filled with water. That's why, even though they're Mayanot, it sounds like filled with water. He says, I want you to give me these Mayanot, but I need to, and I will return to you the cisterns that will be filled up with water. You give me 12 cisterns, I'll pay back you. Otherwise, I'll give you, 12 talents of silver. And he set a date certain when he had to give back the water or the money. So the date came and no rain. So the Mayanot are empty and he's going to have paid the silver. So in the morning, the master, the Adon, whatever, this officer, whatever, the nobleman, he sent to Nachim Ben Gurion, Shkarli Omayim Omaot, give me water or money. Sheishli Biadcha. Shalachlo, Adon Yishli Man, he says, the deal was, I have the whole day. Let's say whatever date it is, let's say it was Sukkot, and so I have till, whatever, the 10th of Mar Cheshvan, so I have the whole 10th of Mar Cheshvan. So he says, Mincha Shalachlo, at Mincha time he sent him the message, Shkarli Omayim Omon, money, water or money, Shishli Biadcha, Shalachlo, Adon Yishli Shishot Bayom. Oh, I skipped the line, right? I'm sorry. He says, oh, I'm sorry. So with Sarayim Shalachlo, in the afternoon he sent him Shkarli Omayim Omon, Shishbiyah, Shalachlo, Adon Yishli Shishbayom. That's in the early afternoon. But Mincha, it's late afternoon, Shalachlo, Shkarli Omayim Omon, Shishbiyah, Shalachlo, Adon Yishli Shishbayom. The bottom line, legally, have a lot of to Adon. So this you know, this nobleman, he's like scoffing, this Nachum Ben Gurion. He says, Amar Kol Hashana Kulo Yadu Gishamin. They haven't been raining the whole year. Now, I don't, in other words, I'm not betting there's going to be rain before the end of this day. Nichlas the Beit America, that's the Simcha. So he went to the bath house in a state of total Simcha. He thinks he's going to cash in big now. Achi Adon Nichlas Besimcha told the Beit America, while the Adon is going to the Beit America, Nachim Nichlas the Beit America, Shu Atzud. But Nachim went to the Beit America, and he was, you know, very disconsolate. Nitatef Amad Betfila, he wrapped himself and he daven. I didn't do this for my own kavod to make this deal with this adon, and I didn't do it for the kavod of my father's house. I did it for your kavod, which is the best way to do mitzvot, for the kavod of Hashem. I wanted that the Oli Regalim should have water, the water supply. So immediately the heavens began to fill with clouds. And the rains came down. So those 12 cisterns got all filled up with water. And then they had even more water than initially. So when this you know, non-Jewish nobleman, he left the Berachat, so they're each leaving their own place. When they encountered one another, Amarlo tamely Maymayim Yoter Shesh Biyarta. So Nachum Ben Gurion says to the non-Jew, you owe me money because I'm returning you more water. In other words, I borrowed from you, let's say, 100 gallons or 1,000 gallons. Now I'm giving you back 1,100 gallons. So now you owe me the money. Amarlo, Yodani Shloi Rish HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'mol Mishvilcha. Because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing this, and I knew he did it for you. El Adayin Yesh Pitchon Pe Alecha. I still have a tie against you. That I can still claim you owe me the money. The deal was you give me back the money by whatever it was, the tenth of Mar Cheshvan. So it's already night now. Now it's the 11th of Mar Cheshvan. You still owe me the money. So right, it did rain, but it's on my dime. So Nachum Ben Gurion went back to the base of Mikdash. He wrapped himself and he went back to Tefillah. I want you to reveal that you have people that you really love in this world. This word, immediately the clouds separated, and the sun shone. At that moment, this nobleman said to Nachimon, if it hadn't shown, I had a time against you. That I could claim the money against you. So, but that was it. Okay, let me just do story, and then that will be a bit. So even when there's no rain, there's water that people do have. You see, he had cisterns with water. I mean, everybody's alive. They're not dying. They have water. Okay, now during the period that led up to the outbreak of World War I, tensions in Europe were at an all-time high. The conflicting nationalistic aspirations of numerous groups threatened the stability of all of Europe, and many monarchies were on the brink of civil war at home and war over territorial claims at their borders. During the summer, immediately preceding the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Yugoslavia that began World War I, Europe was aptly compared to a powder keg waiting for the spark to set it alight. At that time, a number of Gedolim proposed that a universal fast be declared over the Jewish community and circulated a petition to garner support. They said we should have a tinyus because we're on the precipice of a world war. When the matter became known, a certain communal leader declared his vehement opposition. He publicly stated, quote, right now, the Jewish communists, socialists, Zionists, and Bundists are presenting an unprecedented affront to God. Why should we, Orthodox Jewry, have to fast because of their sins? In other words, he's taking it, all of this calamity is because of God, all the Jews who are doing the wrong things. So why do we have to like clean up their mess? The petitioners responded with an obvious answer. Medrash says clearly that since we are all in the same boat, it doesn't matter if it is someone else's fault that we are sinking because he has decided to drill a hole. To save ourselves, we have to undo the damage made by the other person. And as for not waiting for disaster to strike, but rather making an effort to preempt it, they had a perfect argument. In other words, we're making a preemptive fast. He says, we find in Tanis Daf Yotet, the Rabbi Yossi said the sages didn't declare a fast because a tragedy had already happened. Rather, they declared a fast because they were able to see that a potential tragedy was looming on the horizon. He says, in other words, Rabbi Yossi says, not that the wolves ate anybody, but they saw wolves were around. So making a preemptive fast. He says, they declared a fast because wolves had devoured two young children on the far side of the Yarden. Yossi said they weren't eaten, they were seen. If the Chachamim felt that just spotting the wolves is enough a reason to declare a fast, truly our situation is no less threatening, and we pass them like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, that's going to be it tonight. Good to see everybody. Let me just send the recording.